Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, you can start when you get ready.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
You can start when you get ready.
Okay. 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the God do to me, and more also, if I not make your life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he said, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba with belongings to Judah and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said, "Go, return way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehud, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet to your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehud will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehud, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, and whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that..." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? So Elijah turned back from him and took the yoke of the oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Kings 20. 1 Kings 20.
You want me to read?
20.
No. Okay.
Now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him, with horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it. Then he sent messengers into the city of Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus said Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Then the messengers came back and said, Hadad, saying, indeed, I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver and your gold, your wives and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house and houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. So the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble. For he sent to me for my wives and my children, my silver and my gold, and I did not deny him. And all the elders and all the people said to him, do not listen or consent. Therefore he said to his messengers, Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you sent for to your servant the first time I will do, but this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought back word to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, the God do so to me, and more also, if enough dust is left in Samaria for the handful for each of the people who follow me. So the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like one who takes it off. And it happened then that Ben-Hadad heard this message, and as he and the kings were drinking at the command post, that he said to his servants, get ready. And they got ready to attack the city. Suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus said the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ahab said, whom? And he said, thus said the Lord, by the leaders, by the young leaders of the provinces. And he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. Then he mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and there were 232, and after him he mustered. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and 32 kings kept, 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. The young leaders of the provinces went out first. Then Ben-Hadad set out a patrol, and they told him, saying, men are coming out of Samaria. And he said, if they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they have come out for war, take them alive. Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army, which followed them, and each one killed his man. So Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad the king of Syria escaped on a horse with the cavalry. And the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and the chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself, take note, and see that you should do for in the spring of the year of king, in the year the king of Syria will come up against you. Then the servants of King Syria said to him, their gods are gods of hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. So do this thing, the king, each from his position, and put captains in their places. And you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we will be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. So it was in the spring that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Apath to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were mustered and given provision, and they went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two flocks of goats filled the countryside. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus said the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude in your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they encamped opposite each other for 7 days. So it was that on the seventh day, the battle was joined, and the children of Israel, 100,000 foot soldiers of Syrians in 1 day. But the rest fled to Apath into the city. Then a wall fell on 72,000 of the men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and went into the city inner chamber. Then his servant said to him, look now, we have heard that the king of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please let us put sackcloth around our waist and ropes around our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life. So they wore sackcloth around their waist and put ropes around their head, and came to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. And he said, is he still alive? He is my brother. Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come from him, and they quickly grasped at the word and said, your brother Ben-Hadad. So he said, go, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him come up to the chariot. So Ben-Hadad said, the cities which my father took from your father, I will restore and make, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus as my father did in Samaria. I will send you away with this treaty. So he made a treaty with him and sent him away. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbor, by the word of the Lord, strike me, please. And the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you. And as soon as he left, a lion found him and killed him. And he found another man and said, strike me, please. So the man struck him, afflicting the wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, if by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver while the silver was busy, while your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life and your people. So the king of Israel went to his house suddenly and displeased and came to Syria. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Let's try to see if we can answer these questions. At least we got through it. 19. Who threatened Elijah? It's in verse number 2.
Was it Jezebel? Jezebel.
What did God provide? What did God provide Elijah to eat in the wilderness?
Cake baked on coals and water.
Cake. How long did this food strengthen Elijah?
40 days,
and
40 nights.
Be in,
Verse 8.
Where did Elijah look for God the first 3 times?
Now that, I don't know. I have verse 11 and 12 in the wind and the earthquake and in the fire. Or somewhere else.
Well, I had moved before Elijah. He moved before Elijah in a great and powerful force, but he did. It was a powerful force, but he did. It was the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. You're right. You was right. How did God speak to Elijah?
In a small, still voice.
Amen. His spirit. That was his spirit. Now, who were the 7,000? Who are the 7,000 God had reserved that had not been their knees to Baal?
I don't know. I said Israel, verse 18. About that one.
I think it was, what verse you said, 18?
I said 18. Let's see, go back.
18 is right. That's what I got now.
Okay.
Because, I got verse 18. Let me read it.
Did I reserve 7,000 in Israel?
Yeah, I have left
me. All those. Wait a minute, this is.
That's right. We said, yet
19.
I have left me.
That's it.
I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So, who would be anointed in Elijah's place? No.
Elisha.
Would be anointed. Yeah. Okay, chapter 20. Why did Ben-Hadad think he was defeated by Israel in the first battle?
I have verse 19. I don't know if that's right. Because King Ahab, king of Israel, came to into Ben-Hadad's city and killed all his men and his chariots, and Ben-Hadad fled. I don't know. That's not, that don't sound right.
He thought Israel, well, see, he thought Israel gods were only the gods of the hills. But they was not. So he thought because they were the gods of the hills, they couldn't, they couldn't fight his, but he, they wasn't big enough. And they didn't have half as many people as Ben-Hadad had. They didn't have nothing like he had, because he had 32 kings and all of their horsemen and chariots and all this, the fighters and stuff. He had them with him. And Israel just didn't hardly have nobody, but they had God. Mm-hmm.
So what verse was that? What was the answer in verse 1?
I didn't write. Let me see.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Let me look, because it's in the one with the gods of the hills. Wait a minute.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. There's death handful. Let's see. Tell him. I'll be into the hands of the prophets of the Lord's master. I remember reading that. The hill.
So they figured he was just the god of the hills. I read that before. Wait a minute. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is the god of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Or 28. I will deliver all the great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. Verse 28.
Okay, so that's the answer to number one. Because I had that the answer to number two. Oh, my. Okay.
Now, you know, the answer to number two is,
okay, let's see, 28, I got that wrong.
Wait a minute, I just saw the answer to 28.
How did God's talent?
Wait a minute. How did God answer Ben-Hadad's challenge? The answer is that he beat Ben-Hadad's army severely. Remember, because I think it was, you was trying to say that. Wait a minute, 100,000? No, it was 100, 200. It was 20 and 1,000. 20, I'm trying to say it like the book got it. Anyway, it goes with 127,000. Were killed. So he beat them severely. It's in one of these verses when you was reading at the end almost.
I could place it.
It was 127,000, but it ain't in the book like that. It's 20, it's 27, whatever it is.
I don't know. Yes, come on.
It's 20 and 100,000, like that.
Verse 29, and then camped opposite each other for 7 days. So it was on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel, 100,000 foot soldiers of Syria.
100,000 footmen, but it's only it's 30.
Verse 30. Yeah, 27,000 of the men who were left. But the rest fled to Apex into a 27,000. This has
127,000. That might not be it. Can't see all this little bitty writing, but he beat him bad. I'm just going to tell you like that. Mm-hmm. He beat him bad. Okay. Last question. Why did God became angry with Ahab? Why did he become angry with Ahab?
I thought it was because he didn't obey what God told him to do. But I really couldn't.
Verse 42.
I knew. 42.
Verse 42.
Let me see.
Because he told him to keep one man or do something to one man, and he made a treaty with the man.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hands a man who I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria, but him, because he didn't obey. Mm-hmm. He didn't do what he told him to do. Ahab did not put the evil person to death. Instead, Ahab made a treaty with him. Mm-hmm. Made a treaty with him, see, and he wasn't supposed to do that. Then, let me see. And then, we got about 3 minutes. Oh, Jezebel, she threatened Elijah. Elijah running because he's scared. And God was trying to protect Elijah. That's why he told him to go. And he sent an angel to feed him and stuff, because evidently he was fasting. He was weak because he had not eaten.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Ahab was one of the evilest kings that they had. And the reason why God went on and let Ahab king was because he said it was because he wanted him to know that, what was it? I'm going to roll it down. Wait a minute. Anyway, he wanted Ahaz to know that he was king and he could do anything. And he called himself trying to win him over, but Ahab was so evil and mean, but God still wanted to show him that if I want to, I can do this. But you so mean, you going to get out of here. I'm trying to still read it and see. Because I had some commentary on it. And I had circled it. I just can't stand it because I can't see the little writing. But I had called myself reading it. But what he made, he trying to make a point to Ahab. I don't care if you mean or not. You're not going to take Israel down. I'm not going to let you take Israel down. I'm not going to let you get them all destroyed. Because if with a little army like they had, he shouldn't even been trying to go up against no 32 army. He was going up against, and it would have destroyed Israel. But God didn't let it happen. He didn't let it happen. Mm-hmm.
Is that why he was
trying to show him?
Is that why when King Hadad came to him in the beginning and asking him for his wives and children, that he was just willing just to say yes because he knew that he could not, defeat his army?
Because he, in our realization, he shouldn't have won, but he had God, and God was, Israel was God's chosen people. So he wasn't going to let them kill his people. Mm-mm. And he was trying to show Ahab, I don't care how evil you are and how you're trying to kill off Israel, because they won't bow down to them gods. They not going to die out. You going to die. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's right. Mm-hmm. Next week, because we don't have to come back to Bible study this week, but next week we do 21 and 22, and that should be the end of 1 Kings. Then we'll go to 2 Kings. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday, 21, let me write it here, Lord. What's Tuesday? What day is Tuesday? Let me see.
The 31st.
Hold on one.
Tuesday is the 31st.
The first. No.
Oh, the first.
It's the first of November.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do them too. I'm writing them right on my paper. Mm-hmm. That way, by this time, my eyesight should be better and I can read better than I did today. Well, anyway, I'm not going to hold y'all. Thank y'all for coming on here. We had a time getting on here, but God did what he did, and I did what I did. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time, God, that we had to just communicate and read and study your word, Lord. We thank you right now. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover them and their families right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word, God. And we know your word is him, is Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Y'all have a good night.
Amen.
I'll talk to you in the morning by the grace of God.
Amen. Good night.